From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. Juneau's COVID-19 response team hopes to bypass some of the problems people have had signing up for a vaccine by hosting its own local vaccine clinic next week. People 65 and older and healthcare workers who haven't already been vaccinated can sign up for an appointment January 15th through the 17th. The clinic will be at Centennial Hall. Registration opens up Monday, January 11th at juneau.org/vaccine. Emergency Operations Chief Robert Barr says the city is still using the same scheduling software that the state uses, but the sign-up process will be more user-friendly.
One of the big challenges that people have had is when you go to just the homepage of this bit of software, you have to sort of search through all the hundreds of other vaccine clinics that are going on throughout the state right now. And so we're going to bypass that by having those direct links specifically to our clinic.
Both the vaccine and the administrative service are free, but participants should bring a government-issued ID. There are only 1,100 doses of the Pfizer vaccine this time around.
You know, I do think on Tuesday or Wednesday we will have some folks that are a little disappointed that they weren't able to get one of those 1,100 appointments, but I just would assure them ahead of time that we will do more of these as soon as we get more vaccine.
Those who can't get in on this round can still sign up on the state's site to get vaccinated at another location in Juneau. Barr says those who sign up for the city's clinic must be able to schedule a time for a second vaccine dose in early February. And Washington State's Attorney General and a legal coalition of 40 tribes, states, and community organizations filed a motion to block the sale of the National Archives building in Seattle. KNBA's Trip Krause reports on the significance of the building and its potential sale.
The National Archives and Records Administration facility houses an immense collection of historical documents, including records about Alaska and the indigenous peoples of the area. The building also contains documents regarding the Chinese Exclusion Act and the Japanese internment camps of World War II. In January 2020, a five-person panel earmarked the facility and 11 others to liquidate to help cut federal costs. This is the second time a collection of Alaska archives and records have been moved in recent years. In 2014, these records were located at a National Archives facility in Anchorage, which closed. The current sale would split the collection between Missouri and California. The motion seeking a preliminary injunction on the sale is one of several filings the Office of Washington State's Attorney General has made. In addition, the office is suing the federal government, citing that it failed to give tribes and tribal organizations prior notice of the sale and provided no consultation. A number of Freedom of Information Act requests have been made seeking documents and records surrounding the sale. In Anchorage, I'm Trip Krause.
State Republican Representative Lance Pruitt lost his legal challenge today in Alaska Supreme Court. Pruitt was attempting to overturn the results of his East Anchorage district election. He lost to Democrat challenger Liz Snyder by just 11 votes. The state Supreme Court agreed with a lower superior court ruling shortly after justices heard arguments in the case. Pruitt's lawyer, Stacy Stone, told the court that the Division of Elections mishandled how it moved the polling location in that East Anchorage district. She argued that the state didn't give voters enough time or notice to find their new polling location.
And I will say, this is not challenging the entirety of the election. The election had integrity. This is one precinct in one House district where there was a significant problem where errors happened, malconduct happened, and therefore the only remedy to ensure that everyone has a constitutionally protected right is able to exercise that right is for there to be a new election.
The state changed the polling place in that district twice in 2020. Once, just a day before the primary election, and again the week before the general election. Stone argued that the state should have moved faster to determine whether it would need to change polling places again. That way, it could have given more notice to voters in the district. A superior court found in late December that the state could have done more but had acted in, quote, good faith. And the state's lawyer, Assistant Attorney General Laura Fox, told the court that the state had acted reasonably, especially given the extraordinary events of the pandemic.
As the superior court found, the COVID pandemic created significant challenges, and it was a dynamic situation. So we have to look at this election and the division's actions in that context.
Snyder will take her seat after legislature gavels in on January 19th. Federal and state entities signed a 50-year right-of-way permit for the controversial Ambler Road project on Wednesday. As Wesley Early with Alaska's Energy Desk reports, this is the latest step in a long-standing dispute between mining advocates and environmentalists.
The permit was signed by the Bureau of Land Management, the National Park Service, and Alaska's state-owned development corporation, known as ADA. It allows the privately owned road to pass through lands controlled by the federal government. A company called Ambler Metals hopes to use the road to access copper, gold, zinc, and other mineral deposits in the area, in cooperation with the Nana Regional Native Corporation. The road would stretch 211 miles from the Dalton Highway to the Ambler Mining District east of Kotzebue along the Kobuk River. Part of the project would cross Gates of the Arctic National Park and Preserve, which is the part of the project that environmentalists are really opposed to. Bridget Pasarianos is an attorney for Trustees for Alaska. The group has filed numerous lawsuits on behalf of conservation groups opposed to the project.
Putting a gravel road through that area is going to really significantly and negatively impact the environment in that region, the water quality, air quality, wildlife, and the communities that are in that region.
Subsistence advocates have also filed lawsuits over the road, fearful that construction of the project would impact the migration of caribou, a staple of the local Inupiaq diet in northwest Alaska. In its environmental assessment released last March, BLM officials flagged potential impacts to local water and air quality, as well as to wildlife migration and erosion. The project has received millions of dollars in state support. In a statement, Governor Mike Dunleavy described future efforts in the mining district as responsible resource development that is, quote, key to providing high-wage jobs to Alaskans and their families. The right-of-way permit came the same day that ADA also made the majority of oil lease bids on land tracts in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Considering the pro-resource development attitudes of the waning Trump administration, Pasarianos with Trustees for Alaska described those recent decisions as rushed.
What we're seeing right now is just a last-ditch, desperate effort by the Trump administration to rubber stamp as many permits as it can before it leaves office.
Pasarianos described the decision this week as one of many procedural steps in a lengthy process to get the road built. Construction would still be several years away at the minimum. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Wesley Early in Kotzebue.
The first baby of 2021, born at Bartlett Regional Hospital in Juneau, came into the world at 7:50 on Tuesday morning. Madeline Rose McAllister's parents are just happy that she wasn't born in 2020. KTOO's Jennifer Pemberton has the story.
The expecting couple, mom Alexis Forehand and dad Kevin McAllister, live in Skagway. They came to Juneau several weeks ago because they thought their baby was due on December 6th.
And then once we got here to Juneau, they realized that there was a mistake, and the due date was actually, she was due a month later than previously thought.
McAllister works at the Canadian border crossing in Skagway, and he didn't have anyone who could sub for him at work. So he's been traveling back and forth to Juneau on weekends since November. But even with that hassle and the extra month in the hospital, he's still glad his daughter was born in 2021.
I'm glad 2020 is over, just in general.
Subtract 9 months from now, and that puts us back at the end of March, which is when COVID-19 came to Alaska. So Madeline Rose is definitely a pandemic baby. McAllister and Forehand were living in Georgia back then. They found out she was pregnant right as they were about to move to Skagway.
Skagway, where we lived, there was no COVID there, like forever. And then right around the time, like it was time to go to Juneau, we started getting our first cases and all. So we just kind of stayed away from everybody.
McAllister says he felt really safe at Bartlett. They got COVID tested when they were admitted to the hospital. One of the perks of being born at Juneau's hospital is that the first baby of the year gets a special keepsake, a wooden cradle in the shape of a boat, handmade by the emergency department director, Dr. Lindy Jones, who used to deliver babies at the hospital. McAllister didn't know they were in the running for a prize.
We didn't know about it until the ladies here brought it through the door. It's absolutely awesome. It's a work of art. I mean, it's got all copper nails. Everything's been hand cut.
The couple has two other small children at home in Skagway, a boy who's 2 and a girl who's 3.
We probably won't be home an hour, and they're going to be sitting in this thing with their fishing poles.
And props to Alexis Forehand, who labored for 26 hours before delivering her 9.5-pound baby girl. In Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton.